From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. As Iraqis prepare to go to the polls, commentator Steve Call remembers another country which recently held its first elections.
Let's try some free association. I say Afghanistan. You say warlords. I say Kabul. You say women in Purda. Fair enough. It's been a rough 3 decades in Afghanistan, and all of those problems remain. But what kind of world would it be if I said Afghanistan and you thought poetry? That's a question Masoud Khalili has been working on ever since Osama bin Laden tried to kill him just over 3 years ago. It was September 9, 2001. He was sitting beside the legendary Afghan guerrilla leader Ahmad Shah Massoud, known to his followers as the Commander, when two al-Qaeda suicide bombers posing as journalists detonated themselves. Khalili survived. He came awake in a German hospital, half-blind and seared by shrapnel. He asked what had happened to the commander. His wife Sohaila disclosed the news of his death with a verse of poetry. O my Lord, we come from you. In better Afghan times during the 1960s, Khalili's first paying job had been to recite poetry every night on Radio Afghanistan. His father was the country's poet laureate. Not only did Afghanistan have an official poet, it had many others. As Khalili recovered from his wounds in Germany, he read classical Persian poetry every morning. As he got better, so did his country. As national elections approached last summer, he began to translate some of his father's old poems into English. Remarkably, in part because of the success of the elections, it has become that sort of time in Afghanistan again, a time when there is room for more than war and politics. We Americans tend to describe elections in places like Afghanistan or Iraq as transformational, but for many Iraqis and Afghans, as for Khalili, the mechanisms of democracy are attractive not because they promise to create, but because they might restore stability and culture and peaceful diversity, qualities destroyed in the late 20th century by visions of transformational socialism or, as with bin Laden and the Taliban, by totalitarian religion. Iraq and Afghanistan both have cultural pasts worthy of a journey of return. Of course, unexamined nostalgia can be as risky and unreliable as blind faith in change. The hard part is finding the right blend. The title poem of Khalili's collection is called An Assembly of Moths. It's about the essential fragility of faith, love, belief. The assembled moths debate what to do about their city, where there are, as one of them reports, candle flames everywhere. They send out a scout who returns with a carefully observed report. Flames to the north, flames to the south. But the moths in one voice said, "No place for you in this assembly. If, like a real moth, you knew love's lesson, you'd fly into the first candle flame and burn." This is also democratic Afghanistan these days. An assembly of moths, a city of flames, but a country with newly restored language to describe its choices. As millions of Iraqis prepare to weave to the polls later this month in a landscape of car bombs, perhaps we can only hope that in time they will find something of the same.
Steve Call wrote Ghost Wars, The Secret History of the CIA, Afghanistan, and Bin Laden, from the Soviet invasion to September 10, 2001. You can read a poem from Assembly of Moths at our website, npr.org.